This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. Welcome to a rather waterlogged Monday edition of the WBBM Noon Business Hour. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rob Hart.
And I'm Chris Kreidel, and we expect more of the rain and the fog and perhaps thunderstorms as we head through the afternoon. A high today of 60, currently 56 degrees.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank. It is not a stormy Monday on Wall Street. Let's get the details from Bloomberg and Elisa Parenti.
That's right, Rob and Chris. Things are heating up with the Dow gaining 303 points, good for a gain of 1.25%, and the benchmark is at 25,017. NASDAQ is higher by 42 points, or more than 0.5%. S&P gaining 20, advancing 0.75% to 2733. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index also higher by almost 1%. Call it a trade truce or at least a temporary trade ceasefire. Either way, we are looking at a strong relief rally on Wall Street following word from U.S. Treasury Secretary Mnuchin that the U.S. trade war with China is on hold. The world's largest economies are agreeing to drop their tariff threats while they try to work out a wider trade agreement. And oil futures are also gaining, higher by more than 1% and passing above $72 a barrel now. Back to you, Rob and Chris.
Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, negotiations between the U.S. and China. We're going to talk about that. There are a number of opinions, and it's never too early to think about planning your retirement.
Fifth Third Bank is on the grow. The Cincinnati, Ohio-based bank is buying MB Financial. We will talk to the president and CEO of Fifth Third coming up at 12:39 to get his reaction. Then, of course, it's Stock Picker Monday. I'll have a couple of suggestions for you.
Conversation that's on the money. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
This year's crop of college graduates are entering the workforce. One thing they may not be thinking about but should is starting to save for retirement. That's coming up in our next segment. Right now, U.S. trade with China, top of mind, while the week ahead also includes release of minutes from the recent meeting of the Fed. We're joined by Brian Westbury, Chief Economist at First Trust Advisors in Wheaton. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Brian. What do we know about the negotiations? What have they been discussing, and what should they discuss?
Hey, Chris. Thank you for having me. And, you know, I guess a lot of it is kind of out there in the news. But one of the key things that happened over the weekend is that President Trump delayed putting tariffs into effect because China is moving. They have promised to buy $200 billion more of our goods and services. That includes Boeing aircraft, probably. Also includes natural gas and oil, which we are the leading producers of in the world now. And so it appears that China and the U.S. are making progress in negotiations. And that has a knock-on effect, too, because what it does is it makes it look like there's more pressure on North Korea to actually make a deal with the United States as well. So things are looking better on the international front, and the market is reflecting that.
Another economist, Mark Zandi, said today that he thought that the agreements are face-saving and actually lose-lose for both sides.
Yeah, I don't buy that at all. The United States, you know, when we act, when the United States acts, and what I believe is the United States is good. We want democracy. We want prosperity. We want freedom around the world, and we want lower tariffs. Every country has tariffs. The U.S. has some of the lowest in the world. China has some of the highest in the world. And my belief is that when we act with strength, which we are doing right now, we get results. And one of the key reasons is we're not doing it out of animus. We are doing it to truly make the world a better place. And I think that's what will happen out of this. So, you know, there's a lot of skeptics out there Mark Zandi has been skeptical of this recovery from the very beginning, and he's been wrong. And so I think he's wrong about this as well.
Is it possible in this day and age to even have a trade war, given how interconnected every economy is on whether it's Asia, Europe, North America? I keep going back to Ned Beatty's speech in the movie Network, where he says eventually that the world's a business and that all of the economies are interconnected, and you can't really conduct an old-fashioned trade war like they had 100 years ago.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, Rob, it's a great question. And technically, right, we probably could have one. But I think in reality, pragmatically, it's virtually impossible. For 75 years, since the 1930s, since the Smoot-Hawley Tariff Act of the Great and the Great Depression, the world has slowly been bringing tariffs down. And if you kind of look back over this last 30, 40 years, President Reagan put tariffs on semiconductors, President Bush on steel. Every 3, 4, 5 years, we put tariffs on Canadian lumber. And I would call these all of these skirmishes. And the end result is that after these skirmishes, the world continues on its path toward lower tariffs. And when you have 75 years of momentum, and as you say, this interconnected world, George Bush found out we raised steel tariffs and we lost more jobs than we gained. And so that interconnectedness kind of, in my opinion, makes it much more certain that we head toward lower tariffs in the future, and that you're right. It's almost impossible to have a full-blown trade war these days.
Very quickly, the Fed's Open Market Committee releases their minutes on Wednesday. Do you expect any showstoppers?
No, I don't. We know the Fed's going to raise rates more this year. We actually think three more times. If I had a shocker to throw in here, it would be that the Fed ought to raise rates by 50 basis points. In other words, kind of two rate hikes at once. They used to do this long ago. The last time was in 2000 to keep the market on its toes. The Fed, in my opinion, has become way too predictable. A quarter point rate hikes, drip, 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 every time. Anybody with a spreadsheet can put those numbers in there and figure out how to arbitrage the markets, and that's what ends up causing bubbles. And so if you throw in a 50 basis point rate hike, I think the Fed could actually keep the market from getting too much leverage, because it knows exactly what to expect in the future.
Thanks so much for joining us today. Brian Westbury, Chief Economist at First Trust Advisors in Wheaton. Up next, getting a running start on saving for retirement.
Money Talks, as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's an exciting time for college graduates as they begin making their first entry into the job market. And most studies say that this job market is rather robust, and they stand to make a little more starting out compared to their older brothers and sisters who graduated a couple of years ago. Something they should be thinking about as they start their career is what happens when it ends. We welcome in Kelly Long, who is a financial planner with Financial Finesse based in Chicago. Kelly, welcome back to the program. One thing to consider for some of these college graduates is just simply the numbers are on their side when it comes to life expectancy. It's no longer save enough until maybe you're in your 80s or 90s, because the kids graduating from college today, they could live well beyond 100.
Absolutely. Living to 100 is the new mantra, especially if you're just getting out of school. And the good news is you have that longevity, but you also have the miracle of compound interest. So even though it might feel like money is really tight right out of college, and I can say it was for me for sure, even finding $50 a month to put away can turn into six figures by the time you're in your 60s and ready to start thinking about pulling back or retiring. And so finding little ways to save when you're young can make a huge difference. Rather than waiting till you're in your 40s and 50s, when then the massive amounts need to be put away and they have much smaller impact on future gains.
And it may even be an easier time of saving for this year's class of college graduates compared to maybe 6 or 7 years ago, because the salaries are higher and you may have a little extra money to actually sock away this time.
Absolutely. Yeah, the job market's much stronger, so students aren't finding themselves having to work as a barista and a dog walker and another job in order to just pay their rent. They're actually getting jobs in their career fields and therefore should be able to find a little bit of that money to sock away. Even just to get a small Roth IRA started is a could have a huge impact on the future. Definitely not a time to wait. A lot of people say, well, I've got these student loans. Generally speaking, if you've got federal student loans, your interest rate there is relatively, I mean, it's not great. It's usually in the 6 to 7% range, but you're still better off investing before you try to pay those down sooner, particularly when you're younger, because you can be aggressive and hopefully grow that money at a higher rate than that as well.
Kelly, asking you as a reporter and a parent, how do you tell a 20 or 21-year-old that he should start thinking about saving for retirement?
The most impactful thing that I have seen that works is to show them somebody who's struggling to retire. So if there's anybody in your life, aunt, uncle, friend, neighbor that is in their 70s and still working because they have to, that has the biggest impact. They, you know, have them have a conversation with them, or at least point out, you know, this is probably somebody that didn't start when they were young. Another way as a parent, I mean, just start putting some money away yourself for the kid. As long as they have any earned income, you can start a Roth IRA, and that's a great Christmas present, birthday present, or of course, graduation gift is an outstanding idea.
Have you been watching this, that we're kind of passing the baton over to this generation?
Absolutely. In terms of the fiscal problems of the country, as a 40-year-old, I feel even more so kind of stuck in the middle of having to do this. I just read today that if we could raise Social Security taxes that workers pay by 1.42%, we'd solve Social Security's problems through 2090. Something like that's going to happen. We're going to have to pay more taxes, and these kids are going to see that impact even more because they'll be paying it for longer in their lifetime than we are.
Well, thank you very much for the insights. Kelly Long, financial planner with Financial Finesse, based in Chicago. Let's get the latest on markets now from WBBM Business, Bloomberg, and Elisa Parenti.
Rob, we are still holding with some sizable gains. The Dow up 309 points, or 1.25%. The benchmark moving above 25,000 for the first time since March. NASDAQ is up 46 points, or 0.2%, and moving above 7,400 now. S&P higher by 22 points to 2735. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg gaining 0.75%. We've got a check of the grains markets. For that, we turn to Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
Grains are being higher here. Corn up 1.5 in December, 421.75, 3 off its high. Beans are up 26.75 in July at 10.25 1/4. November's up 25 at 10.33 1/4 on word that China and the U.S. are getting things solved on our China trade. And wheat for July down 8.5 at 509.75 on worries that the wheat is more than we need in the U.S. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thanks, Pete. I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart.
I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Markets are rallying today. We'll see what's boosting Wall Street.
Stock Picker Monday, a couple of ideas from an investment pro.
Chicago's MB Financial Bank is being bought by Cincinnati-based Fifth Third.
A death investigation's underway after the discovery of 3 bodies inside a home in Winfield.
And Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is calling for a stronger nuclear agreement with Iran following the U.S. withdrawal from a 2015 deal.
Wall Street, the Dow Industrials up 302 points, the NASDAQ up 44, S&P 500 gaining 21.
AccuWeather says the rain will continue for the next couple of hours, an urban and small stream flood advisory in effect until 1:15 this afternoon for most of Chicago. After that, cloudy and a high of 60. The Noon Business Hour continues, presented by Old Second Bank.
Markets are starting the week on a positive note. We're joined by Tim Griske, Chief Investment Strategist at Inverness Council in New York. Tim, thanks for joining us today on the Noon Business Hour. What we're seeing on Wall Street today, is that being fueled by statements that talks over are going pretty well with the Chinese leader?
Exactly, Chris. Treasury Secretary Mnuchin announced that the trade war with China was on hold. Not a lot of details on that, but that has given today's market a fair amount of strength here, and we're seeing names that would be exposed to that, possibly exposed to that, doing very well. Boeing is up significantly, for instance, on the day, as are a lot of the technology stocks. I think importantly, there is talk that the intellectual property, things like, on technology and on media will be more protected in China. So they won't be stealing all our good ideas. And I think so that's giving the whole market an uplift.
And if they came out and said, it's broken down, then the market, we're looking right here at, it's based on what the news is.
Exactly, and there isn't that much news, and we've seen this before, certainly. All it will take is one negative tweet to reignite the concerns in this area by the market, and that can certainly happen. Wouldn't be surprised at all. They're a long ways away from any type of agreement, but today the market is looking at it favorably, and perhaps the rhetoric will die down here at some point in terms of this potential trade war.
So what do you suggest to investors?
Well, I think still a degree of caution is warranted in the markets, but you can certainly invest in some of these areas. Technology, we might point you to Microsoft, which is a more conservative tech name, a better value than a lot of the other tech names out there, obviously a more mature technology company, but still very much developing on the forefront. So we would look at that. We'd always look at Amazon. They are simply going to be dominant here, not only in package delivery and e-commerce, but also in the cloud and in their greenfield businesses like self-driving cars. This is just going to be a company to be reckoned with for many decades to come, we think.
We talked a little bit about investing strategy earlier. Just given the amount of volatility and how markets can turn on a tweet, as you said, how far down the road should an investor be looking as they assess all of the external factors that could impact the market this year?
Well, you never know for sure what's going to happen in the future or even tomorrow. But so it's probably best to look out at least 6 or 12 months. And looking out that period of time, you still see the potential for very strong double-digit earnings growth in this market. Certainly, we're going to see it through the end of this year, given the benefit from lower taxes and on corporate America. But underlying organic strength is there as well, and we see that in the strong revenue numbers in the high single digits that are being produced, well above expectations, and in the global economic recovery. So we're still positive on this market. We just think a degree of caution in the near term is warranted.
When the Fed releases its notes from the latest Open Market Committee meeting on Wednesday, do you anticipate anything really surprising jumping out at you?
Probably not, but we're most likely going to look at another increase in the Fed funds rate in the month of June, and then perhaps probably one in the fall as well. So the Fed is still in a tightening mode, and that is the big risk in the market. When the Fed is in a tightening stance, and they are in that, the risk of a recession eventually hitting the U.S. economy is always a high probability. It is a bit different this time, but there's risk in saying that it's ever really different.
Tim, always nice to have you on the program. Thanks for joining us. Tim Griske, Chief Investment Strategist at Inverness Council in New York. Coming up, a major deal in the financial industry involves a Chicago-based bank.
Information to make cash and save cash.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Ohio-headquartered Fifth Third Bancorp has agreed to buy Chicago-based rival MB Financial in a stock and cash deal valued at about $4.7 billion. Let's learn more about what's behind the move from Greg Carmichael, president and CEO of Fifth Third Bancorp in Cincinnati. Greg, welcome to the Noon Business Hour. Tell us what your design here is. What is your goal?
Thanks, Chris. First off, we were very excited about the opportunity to partner with MB Financial. It's a fantastic, fantastic organization. It does a great job of serving the Chicago market. And this opportunity creates a leading Chicago bank with top-tier commercial capabilities and a very, very attractive retail franchise, a small business franchise. So when you put the two businesses together, our ability to serve this market, we'll be number two in retail deposits. We'll be number two in middle market banking, which is extremely important to Fifth Third in our business model. And it really creates a service platform that allows us to reach the customers and provide the products and services to meet their needs in a fashion that we couldn't have without a merger of this nature.
Many of your customers are small businesses?
Correct. And, many small businesses and we'll call middle market companies. And MB Financial does a fantastic job in that sector. When we put the two businesses together, we'll bank one in every five middle market commercial client in Chicago, which gives us a great opportunity, once again, as I said, to serve the market with Fifth Third's advanced capabilities in capital markets and treasury management and the fantastic platform that MB Financial runs with respect to the products they offer in that lower end of middle market. It creates a very powerful bank.
Where is branch banking in terms of priority, not only inside the Fifth Third structure, but in this combined Fifth Third MB entity that's going to be taking place going forward? I mean, are we still going to see a lot of MB or Fifth Third branches just around the corner?
Absolutely. When you put the two franchises together, we'll have roughly 240-plus branches in a very, very strong ATM distribution network in this market. Branch banking is still extremely important. Customers want to visit a bank, a branch. 35% of our customers still only go to a branch. So we need to have the ability to serve those customers through our branch network. Consumer deposits are extremely important to banks, as you might imagine. And our ability to serve those customers starts with being able to reach those customers. So the branch banking is still going to be an important part of our model, as will our digital services and products that we continue to enhance. A significant amount of our consumer transactions go through our digital channels, but once again, branch banking is still important.
Outside of Fifth Third's presence in Chicago, executive and management presence in Chicago, will it expand upon and build upon MB's presence here? And then what about presence in the community in terms of sponsorship of events and things like that?
Yeah, first off, we're going to continue to make sure we do a good job of serving our communities and taking care of the communities. We can't build a strong franchise if we don't build strong communities. So our commitment and the commitments that we've made already in this market, we're gonna continue to support those commitments. We're part of the fabric of Chicago, so you expect we'll continue to do that as we move forward. In addition to that, the MB franchise here and what made it really attractive to us is what we can do across our other 10-state footprint to help serve those customers in the middle market segment with some of the products they have. So we expect them to play a significant role in our overall franchise, not just the Chicago market. And they have tremendous talent in place, and we're excited about that.
With a deal this big, it sounds as if you've got an investment in the economy.
Absolutely. And we've made a large community commitment, a five-year commitment, and it's a significant part of that commitment is in the Chicago market already. So I think we do a good job here.
Thank you very much. Greg Carmichael, president and CEO of Fifth Third Bancorp based in Cincinnati. Join us at this time tomorrow for Travel Tuesday and still to come, our Monday Stock Picker.
Loaning useful information each weekday. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Stock Picker Monday, and joining us this afternoon is Chuck Carlson, the CEO of Horizon Investment Services and publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast newsletter, based in Hammond. Chuck, welcome back to the program. This seems like a banking Monday on the Noon Business Hour. We talked about the MB Fifth Third combination just a couple of minutes ago, and one of your stock picks today is Wintrust Financial. What do you like about them?
Well, one of the things we like, if you see what's happening in the market, smaller and mid-cap stocks have really been kind of leading the way. So the two stock recommendations I have are kind of in that space. One, as you mentioned, is Wintrust Financial. Trades for about $94 a share. The symbol is WTFC. We like a number of things about it. The company is coming off a very good first quarter where per-share earnings were up 40%. They had revenue growth of 19%. Probably most importantly, they had really nice loan growth as well, and that has been the bugaboo for a number of banks, but it wasn't for Wintrust. They had a real nice quarter. We like the banking sector. We like the fact that it's kind of a play on rising interest rates, and it's a stock where we think there's further upside. So, again, that's Wintrust, symbol WTFC.
The second pick today is Trinet, T-N-E-T. What does this company do?
Yeah, again, it's another mid-cap. It's not a familiar name. It's a company that's involved in providing a number of human resource solutions for corporations, one of them being payroll processing. Human resources kind of consultants or services companies tend to benefit from employment growth, not surprisingly, and obviously we have been seeing that with a strong labor market, so that's a plus. The company's coming off a really nice March quarter where per-share earnings were up 78%. And service revenue beat expectations and was up 11%. When you look at earnings estimates for this company for 2018 and 2019, in the last 90 days, they've just been soaring, and we look at that as a fairly bullish tip for that company as well. So all in all, it's in a nice space. Again, they benefit from stronger employment markets, which we're getting. They also tend to benefit also from rising short-term interest rates because of the funds they hold for companies that are awaiting disbursement. They can generate interest income on that. So all in all, it's a nice package. Again, it's around $53 a share, and the symbol is TNET. And just for disclosure purposes, my firm owns both of these stocks.
While we have you, Chuck, we've got to ask the Dow Theory, what is it saying to us right now?
Well, today, notwithstanding, the primary trend, according to the Dow Theory, is still bearish. We've been kind of locked in this trading range now and could stay in that trading range for some time, say the low on the Dow, of around 23.5, 23.8. The high end of the range is 26.6. So I don't think we're in for kind of a nasty market, but I do think we're probably going to see at least another retest of the recent lows before it's onward and upward. Again, today notwithstanding.
Well, thank you very much, Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services and publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast Newsletter. You can find past programs and later today a podcast of this hour at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the all-new Radio.com app.
WBBM News Time is 12:55. Let's take a look at the markets now with Elisa Peretti.
Chris, the Dow is higher by 317 points, good for a gain of 1.25%, and the benchmark has in this session moved back above 25,000. NASDAQ higher by 42 points, or more than 0.5%. S&P gaining 22, or almost 1%. And the Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is higher by almost 1%. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin says the two, U.S. and China, have put proposed tariffs on hold while they negotiate. The two countries released a joint statement over the weekend in which China promised to significantly increase purchases of American goods and services. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.